This is Isaac Benjamin bringing you another episode of Scrubs in the Trenches. I'm a registered nurse with over 15 years of experience in places like the ICU, emergency department, recovery room, and cardiac cath lab, just to name a few. I've seen some amazing things during my time in the hospital trenches, but I'm ready to transition out of those trenches and help you from ending up there yourself. So join me as I share my insights and experiences to provide you a holistic perspective that you won't find anywhere else. And remember, I'm not giving any direct medical or coaching advice. I'm just trying to enrich your life.
I claim to know no insight or knowledge about anything, but I do find it quite weird that this Bill Gates guy, he has many money investments inside of genetically modified mosquitoes, but he also likes to play around with the vaccines. I don't know. I don't see if... I mean, he could technically create a non-traceable flying syringe that has a needle for a nose. I don't know. I'm sorry, but this is a little too on the nose for you, but...
For that weird opening, I swore I locked up Ivan. My bad. Anyway, welcome back for the third part of my Limelight series, where I have shared with you parts of my journey with Lyme disease and some of the different treatment options I have used. Today I want to go into my understanding of the Borrelia bacteria and what I believe it's doing inside my body. And remember, I don't claim to be offering any medical advice, but I just want to share where my intuition and research have led me. And I'll start by saying that I don't believe that just the Borrelia bacteria is the only thing that messes with me. I mean, honestly, I've had blood work done that shows I'm basically a petri dish. I've been positive for Mycoplasma pneumonia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, the Borrelia bacteria, I think maybe Epstein-Barr virus. I'm not even sure. Like, I've just basically, when I went to this holistic or the non-insurance taking medical group back when I first got Lyme, like I said, they did a gamut of lab work and showed that I had a lot of different, what I will term, or what this Dr. Bill Rawls termed as stealth microbes. And I don't have any affiliation with this Dr. Bill Rawls, but his book called Unlocking Lyme is one of the better books on Lyme, in my opinion. Much like myself, he was in the mainstream medicine. He was a OBGYN and never would have thought much of Lyme himself until he got it. And then conventional medicine wasn't helping him feel any better. And the most interesting thing that I took away from his book was his theory. And I'm guessing he kind of started this, or, you know, he's where I learned it from, but this theory on stealth microbes. And so basically, like the things that I mentioned that I was positive for, these microbes like Borrelia, hepatitis virus, Mycoplasma pneumonia, many others, including Epstein-Barr virus, can stay hidden in your joints, your heart tissue, and even the brain cells, and stay hidden from your own immune system and that fancy blood work that your doctor ordered. So in his book, he basically groups fibromyalgia and Lyme together. This is interesting to me because for the longest time, traditional medicine would say that since we can't find the Lyme-causing bacteria, Borrelia, in your bloodstream, then it's impossible for a chronic infection to be your problem. But mainstream medicine would also diagnose someone with fibromyalgia when there's no actual diagnostic test for it. And then they prescribe you Lyrica. And maybe I'm missing something, but how does that make any sense? That a doctor can be smart enough to make it through medical school, but not be able to see how hypocritical it is to prescribe the fibromyalgia patient a random drug that's being pushed by pharmaceutical companies, and also tell someone bitten by an infectious tick that there's nothing he can do. So let me circle back like a spirochete. The different Borrelia bacteria found in ticks are spirochetes, much like syphilis. In the late 1800s, two European dermatologists, Adolf Jerif and Karl Herxheimer, and like I said, I don't know how to pronunciate things, whatever. I don't know how to speak half the time. But these two dermatologists noticed that when they treated skin lesions of syphilis patients with mercury, the patients would experience fever, nausea, vomiting, and the lesions would worsen before eventually healing. The illness would last a couple days after they treated with mercury, but then it was followed by the resolution of the skin lesions and the patient feeling better. This was, and it's still kind of known as a Jerif-Herxheimer reaction, which is commonly referred to as a Herx reaction these days. And one of the confusing things about Lyme is the fact that you can feel worse after you start your antibiotics, which many Lyme-literate doctors attribute to the Herx reaction, the killing off of, you know, the bacteria and the toxins that are released when you kill it. And so you get to, you know, back to where I said in the last episode, so you attack the spirochete with antibiotics, it realizes it's under attack, and then, like I said, some research suggests that it converts into a cyst form, so the antibiotics can't penetrate, and then once the antibiotics are removed from the situation, they revert back to their spirochete form, so that's why a lot of people will have, you know, relapses after being treated with antibiotics and Lyme, and I've experienced that myself. Another fascinating thing about the Borrelia bacteria is that its intention is not to kill its host, because in fact, it needs you to be alive in order to survive. So the way the Lyme disease bacteria Borrelia works is, first, it has to be in an infected tick. So, you know, the tick, and I'll kind of circle back around to this, but so the tick infects a host, whether it's deer, human, mouse, whatever, it infects it. But then in order for it to survive or to continue its life cycle, because once it's kind of in that host, you know, theoretically, the only way that Lyme spreads is through the bite of a tick. And there's other theories on that, but we'll just kind of keep it, you know, simple. So you can't spread Lyme without a tick bite. So Lyme needs a host to already have the bacteria within it. And so a second tick can come along, bite that host, drop off, and then it's infected and it can start spreading the Lyme bacteria to other hosts. And another interesting thing from the Unlocking Lyme book is, I don't know if you've heard of the Iceman that they found. He had like a knife in his back as he apparently was traveling from one place to another. He was murdered, apparently, but frozen in ice, so his DNA was, you know, he still had tissue and things like that. And they actually found spirochete bacteria, not necessarily the exact Lyme, you know, spirochete, but one very similar to it within his tissues and things like that. And his joints were very arthritic, but he didn't die from Lyme. He got stabbed in the back. So, like I said before, it's not the Borrelia's intentions to kill you, because if you're not moving and just laid up, another tick's not going to get a hold of you. So it's in its advantage to almost go in cycles and kind of flare up, but eventually kind of, you know, simmer back down so the host can continue to at least move, even though they may feel awful. And the Borrelia bacteria is spirochete shape, which is almost like corkscrew. So it's essentially a drilling machine. and it loves collagen and things like that, so it can drill into the joints, brain tissue, cardiac tissue as some of its favorite places to hide out. But our medical model doesn't really go searching in your heart for, you know, proof that there's spirochetes in your tissue. So that's where we kind of get into the confusion of, and I think they're advancing. The CDC now acknowledges Borrelia, COVID, and other things as chronic infections. But like I said, I don't have the greatest relationship with the CDC, but, you know, and I don't know what their agenda is, but they, and I don't know if it's just the fact that so many people are like, hey, this is in doctors, and it's like, hey, this is actual reality that we're dealing with people having these stealth microbes and chronic infections that are affecting their health. So hopefully moving forward, we can get more support for things like Lyme and other stealth microbes that aren't necessarily killing people, but it is decreasing their quality of life. And as I close this episode, this is why I kind of want to reiterate the importance of a holistic approach to healing, because even though my solution, which I don't necessarily believe is even the best solution, but it is something that keeps me moving and allows me to have an equality of life as I take low dose of doxycycline daily just to keep it, you know, the spirochete, and I know there's side effects of being on long-term antibiotics, but I use probiotics and other things to help just promote the healthiest homeostasis that I can with my situation. But it doesn't mean I'm not still searching for better ways to improve my health. And hopefully sharing just my stories at this point are able to help people understand maybe a loved one is not really getting better, then they're obviously sick, but the doctors say they're not sick. And, you know, Lyme can be tricky because you'll feel terrible one day, and then a few days later, you feel kind of back to normal, even people without antibiotics. So I just want to be able to show people that just because mainstream medicine says that, you know, you're crazy for not feeling good, or there's no reason why you shouldn't be feeling good, that it's possible that some sort of stealth microbe is throwing things off. And I know, and for me, it's personally, it's real black and white. I got bit by 3 ticks. They were little deer ticks that I got all the classic symptoms of Lyme, and it's just not, there's no question to it to me. And even if it's not the, you know, Borrelia burgdorferi that's from the Northeast, I've got some sort of spirochete and at least some tick-borne illness, because they are full, ticks are just full of nasty diseases, ehrlichiosis and these other things that are a little less common. But, you know, people a lot of times just don't feel good and don't know why. And like I said, Unlocking Lyme by Bill Rawls, he's got lots of interesting takes on his personal journey, which I really resonate with, because a lot of the things that he went through in being a medical professional, it's like sometimes you can't accept what they're telling you. Like, and inside their Western medical box, they can't see that you're suffering, and you're also not crazy, that something actually is causing this disruption within yourself. So I just want everyone out there to know that you're not alone, you can be seen, and you can be heard. So if you or a loved one keeps going to doctor after doctor and not able to find a solution that actually helps you, that's one of the reasons I just fell in love with nurse coaching, is because it allows me to use my background and also my insights into the medical system and where it falls short, because there are lots of people falling through the crack. Lots of people that, because they don't fit inside the box, and don't get me wrong, Western medicine does help a lot of people. It does. But if you don't fall into one of their boxes, and honestly, the hospital was more designed for acute problems, and most of the issues we deal with in our modern society are chronic problems. So if you or a loved one just aren't getting any better, or you don't feel like that doctors hear you, know that nurse coaches are out there. They are experienced nurses that have been trained in essentially life coaching, health coaching, and are able to use their unique skills and insights to help individuals take a holistic, big picture approach to towards healing instead of just trying to figure out the best way to cover up the symptom. So if you're curious if nurse coaching can help you, I'd love for you to reach out to me at isaac@higherreflectioncoaching.com. And that's isaac@higherreflectioncoaching.com.